Well, hello, y'all. How was Christmas? Good? Did you have a good Christmas? How about you, Marley? Did you have a good Christmas? I had a good Christmas. I had a rough few days after Christmas. But hey, I loved Christmas. Christmas is awesome. It is one of my favorite times of the year. We still have all of our Christmas stuff up because, you know, you're allowed to do that until New Year's. So it's like my rules. No Christmas up until after Thanksgiving, and no Christmas up after New Year's. So it's got its time. So you do it during its time. Anyone else feel like that, or is anyone here like Christmas all year? Leave up the tree. You know, throw a sheet on it and call it a decoration until it's time to take the sheet off again. I've seen people like. I actually saw this one house that it was like one of those like super rich mansion-y houses, and the floor opened up and the tree would go down, and then the floor would close, and then they could open up the floor again, the tree would come back up, and then I'm like, that is lazy. Just take your tree down, people. Why buy a tree elevator? If you got the money, I guess you do that. But hey, today, we're shifting gears. Obviously, we don't have our Christmas theme anymore or anything like that on the screen. We still have Christmas around here. We still have, you know, the candles are all burning, and it's a beautiful time. I had a really good time on the Christmas Eve service. That was an interesting time. we had a great time with our electric lights, which I think the kids really enjoyed. I think that was kind of fun, just like electric lighting. And then, you know, Steve joined us during the service, which was fun because he apparently decided that he wanted to vacuum at that time. I know. So, but hey, you know, I just thought it's the end of the year, and you think about all the stuff that's happened throughout the year. You ever do that? You reflect back on the year, like what's happened throughout the year, and, you know, where were we a year ago? And I'm sitting here going, you know what? A year ago, things looked a lot different. Things were a lot different. The visions and dreams we had a year ago have changed. But the mission is still the same. So we're still here to cherish God, to love Him, share Him with others, love other people. And that has never changed. Despite how anything else has changed throughout this year. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that today. We're doing a combined service today, so no kids' church today. If you can't tell, I am down 2/3 of my family today. They are home. Most of them are not feeling well. One of them is not, but I figured he might as well just stay home because I love Malachi dearly, but I didn't want him to be the only one here with me. So... maybe next year he can do that. But anyway, if you'll stand with me, we're going to get into some worship here in a second, but I want to pray for us before we do this. Lord God, I thank you so much that we can come together this last Sunday of 2024. We're not even going to see each other until next year. And Lord God, I pray that we will not only rest this week, if we've got our time to rest, God, if we're working, that we will work our tails off for you, Jesus. But the thing is that we want to remember you all the time. Lord, we celebrated your birthday last week. We celebrated you coming and saving us. And now it's time to get to work again. It's time to get back to what we know that we got to be doing, which is looking for people who need you, reaching people for Jesus, helping to connect them to Jesus. Lord God, I pray that as we get into worship today, we can recall back all of the things that you've done that have brought us to this moment. And Lord Jesus, help us to always remember that you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You are the reason we are here and the reason we worship. In your name, amen.
God and maker of heaven and earth. Soften my heart and break me apart. I need you to open my eyes and see that you're shaping my life. All I Spirit strong in me. My flesh may fail. My God, you never will. every moment I withhold nothing. I'm learning to trust you even when I can't see it. And even in suffering I have to believe it. And if you say it's wrong, then I'll say no. You're in it with me, I'll begin. And when you say to jump, I'm diving in. And if you say be still, then I will wait. And if you say to trust, I will obey. I don't wanna follow my own way. I'm done chasing feelings. Spirit, lead me. Like a burden, but once I could grasp it, you took me further, further than I was asking. And simply to see you is worth it all. My life is an altar, your fire falls. If you say it's wrong, then I'll say no. And if you say release, I'm letting go. If you're sinning with me, I'll begin. And when you say to jump, I'm diving in. And if you say be still, then I will wait. And if you say to trust, I will obey. Teach me how to follow in your way. I'm done chasing feelings. From the rocks to satisfy my thirst, to love me at my worst. And even when I don't remember, you remind me of my worth. I don't trust in my ways, I can't deny my thoughts. Lay down and you're all that I want. I've landed on my knees. It's the cup you have for me. And even when it don't make sense, I'm gonna let your spirit. say be still, then I will wait. And if you say to trouble, chasing feelings, spirit
Jesus, I pray that that is our prayer. I pray that you would lead us as we're leading into this new year, God, as we're finishing out this year, God. Have us see those moments where we followed you. Have us see those moments where we missed the mark. And God, help us to prepare ourselves to do what is right in the new year, God. Thank you, Jesus, for everything that you do and all that you are, God. We love you. In your name, amen. God bless. Take a few seconds and say hi to some folks this morning.
Look down from a broken sky, traced out by the city lights. My world from a mile high, best seat in the house tonight. Touchdown in the cold black top, hold on for the sudden stop. Breathe in the familiar shock of confusion and chaos. All those people going somewhere, why have I never cared? Give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. Yeah. 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 Step out on a busy street, see a girl and our eyes meet. Does her best to smile at me, to hide what's underneath. There's a man just to her right, black suit and a bright red tie. Too ashamed to tell his wife he's out of work, he's buying time. All those people going somewhere, why have I never cared? Give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. Yeah. 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 I've been here a million times, a couple million eyes, just moving past me by. I swear I never thought that I was wrong. Well, I want a second glance, so give me a second chance to see the way you've seen the people all along. Give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. Give me your eyes, Lord, give me your eyes so I can see everything.
Well, good morning, everybody. So, who here has some really good, like, end of the year jokes? Oh, nobody wants to tell a joke. New Year's jokes? Post-Christmas jokes. I'll take it. What do you got? Rudolph had to go to the doc the other day. Why is that? Ooh, he got a bad case of shingles on Christmas Eve. Ooh. You know what I've never understood is why Rudolph has a red nose. Why would you put something with a red nose in the front? Because usually don't the red things go in the back? Yeah? The reindeer are all females? Because the male lose their antlers in the wintertime. Huh. All Santa's reindeers are females. I'm not sure anyone told Rudolph that. Pretty sure that movie had him as a guy. So we had a visit from Dasher at our house, of all, right? I mean, we did a very interesting thing. We had my kids put out cookies and milk, you know, and then they put out carrots as well, but Dasher just made a disaster all over the table with the carrots. I'm not sure he even ate any of them. So, do you guys do any of those, like, fun traditions, like, you know, milk and cookies is like a sandwich. Do you guys have like a strange Christmas tradition that you guys have done that is maybe different from everyone else? A coconut underneath the tree. Okay. Cool. Oh, nice. Nice. Well, there you go. Aw. I guess that makes you the best gift of Christmas. Yeah. Yep. All right, let's do some quick announcements real fast. Financial Peace University starts up next Wednesday. Ah, that's fast. January 8th is not this Wednesday. It is the next Wednesday, and we will be having Financial Peace University Wednesday nights right here, 7 o'clock. I am looking forward to that. I'm actually really, really excited for that. I have to double check. I don't know how many people have signed up for it already. So if you've signed up for it, awesome. If not, why not? Sign up. Come to Financial Peace University. It will amazingly change your life for the better, I promise you. So I encourage you to be there. Distribution day is coming up on January 16th, and that's going to be from 11 to 1. We have Fine Arts Festival coming up March 28th and 29th, so teenagers, if you want to go, I got to get your information because we got to get those applications in very soon, like in January, so that you could do things in March. So we have our new series, which is starting in January officially, which is Renew the Vision. Today, we're kind of be doing a preview for that. We have Warriors at the Well not meeting until next year. They're taking the rest of the year off. I know. The whole year. The whole rest of the year. No women's ministry. Divorce care. You guys are still meeting? No. Not this week? You guys aren't meeting for the rest of the year either? Oh, man. I know. So anyway, if you want to keep up on what's going on in our church, please download the Church Center app. You can find out what's going on. You can sign up for stuff, and as we grow and expand and have other fun things that happen, you'll be able to find it there. Normally, this would be the time when I dismiss the kids, but we are not actually going to do that today because we don't have kids' church today. Sorry. It's a joint service today. Everyone say, yay! So, as you can tell, I am down a lot of folks in my family today. So, kiddos, you get to stick around with us. And I will do my best to try to make this a fun service for everyone. Or at least a quick one. How's that sound? You're like, a fast service from Pastor Scott? Yeah, right? Cool. Well, let's go ahead and pick up our tithes and offerings right now. There's a QR code on the screen if you want to give online. Or you can go to live360.org/giving. And make sure you click on Conway. And then you can give right there. So, let's pray. Lord God, we thank you so much for the continued giving hearts of the people. We thank you so much that you have made a way when there seems to be no way sometimes, God, and you have continued to provide for us. We love you, Lord. Amen. All right. As a note, if you guys want your giving to count towards 2024, you must have your offering into me by tomorrow, or at least to the church by tomorrow. The reason being is because we can't go off of like postmarks or anything like that. It has to be received at Chesterfield, our finance office. It has to be received there by the 2nd. And I'm only going to Chesterfield on Tuesday morning. So if you want to give today, that would be the absolute most convenient and best way to do it. If not, if you want to give online, you have until technically maybe, technically if it's online, I think you do have to give it before midnight on the 1st. I don't know, is it midnight the 1st or midnight the 31st? How does midnight work? I am 41 years old and I still don't know how midnight works. What day is midnight? Midnight is the day after. Okay, that's when it switches days. So the day goes until 11:59. That makes sense now because all of my professors are like, you have to have it turned in by 11:59 on this day. And that gets, oh, that makes sense now. Gotcha. I am 41 and just figured this out. So December 31st, 11:59, you have to hit submit by then or it don't count online. Cool. Awesome sauce. Well, we're going to get into our message real fast. Are you guys ready? Does this look familiar? Slightly? I mean, other than the fact that I was like, preview for the next series in the next month, we're going to be talking a lot about renewing the vision. But I wanted to kind of do a review. Because I used to, you know, one of the things that I like to do, one of the spiritual gifts I have is teaching. And one of the things that everyone loves the teacher to do is review, right? Does everyone like review days? No. Should I print a study guide and have quizzes for everyone? No, I'm just kidding. You're like, be quiet, Pastor Scott. You said you'd finish early. Okay, all right. I got it. So, all right, with Christmas over and New Year's quickly approaching, it's starting to be time for us to look at 2025, okay? Is that right? You guys ready for 2025? Anyone ever thought they'd see 2025? I'm telling you, I never saw that coming. 2025, that is coming fast. So a lot of things are going to happen in 2025. My daughter is going to be getting ready to be a driver on the road in 2025. Watch out, I'm not joking. And my oldest is going to be a senior. Wow. And I'm sure my boys are going to do amazing things, too. they're still younger. But here's the deal. Back in September, I presented a preview message for our upcoming series called Renewed the Vision. Do you guys remember this? For those of you that were here, all the way back at the last Sunday of September, we were transitioning between one series, and then we were getting ready to go into October, into our missions month. And so, yeah, that's what we were doing. We were transitioning, right? And that was fun. I really enjoyed that service. We got to talk about what it means to be a small church, where we are, and things like that. And then I gave you guys a challenge. Do you guys remember the challenge? Anyone remember the challenge that I gave you? Oh, no. See, it's a good day. It's a good thing we're doing a review day because everything's due on next Sunday. No, just kidding. the challenge was this, is to be thinking about, all the way back in September and beyond, to start thinking about what God is speaking to you for how you will be serving him in 2025. I'm not talking about serving our church. I'm not talking about, I mean, it can be. It could be absolutely serving in the church. That's wonderful. But how is God calling you to serve him in 2025? Because the church is a building. No, the church is people. But our church is here to equip and strengthen and prepare you for what God has called you to do, where you are. So, that's what we were talking about. So that was your homework. And like I said, it's due soon. I'm watching you. And those of you who just heard about the assignment, sorry. It was assigned back in September. Should have checked your syllabus. I'm just kidding. Oh, I guess I didn't print it. I'm a terrible teacher then, aren't I, Elizabeth? Don't you hate it when teachers give you an assignment and you're like, I assigned it back in September, and you're like, I never heard of it. Yeah, that's what happened. So here's the deal, guys. Since it's like every single week since October, I have been hearing stories about what God has been doing in your guys' lives and stuff that's been happening and visions and dreams and all sorts of stuff that God has been giving you. We have seen ministries in this church fluctuate up and down and left and right and all over the place and kind of transform and transmorph sometimes. And it's been really kind of an interesting ride just this last quarter of the year, hasn't it? It really has. I'm really, when I sit down and I think about what God has done in the last quarter, I'm going, wow, you've made a lot of changes in the last quarter. So I'm kind of really looking forward to what's happening next. We've hosted a lot of events since then. We've had a lot of opportunity for people to come to faith. We've seen some... We see some changes in our lives. Some of you weren't even here when I gave you the message in September. You were sick in September. So as we prepare for the new series, I want to take some time to review what we talked about and why we exist as a church here in Conway in the first place, okay? So first, let me share with you again the mission statement of Life 360 Church. Our mission is this, connecting people to Jesus by creating communities where people belong, believe, and become. We have a wonderful sign here that says, belong, believe, and become. It's not just a pretty banner. It's what we do. This is what we do. Okay? This is what we do. So what, my question to you is this, what does that mean? See, I told you it was a review day, so there's going to be questions. What does it mean, belong, believe, become? Okay. Huh. Well, kind of. What do you got? Huh. Okay. Okay, what do you got? What do you got? What do you got? She's thinking about it. Okay. All right. Well, let me give you the official explanation of belong, believe, and become. We, as a church, and I'm saying this is a mission statement, okay? As a church, this is our mission statement, okay? It's not just about you and not just about me. It's about the church as a whole. We want to become the place where people feel like they belong. Yes, I know, because you've heard this 100 times, PK. We want to become a place where people feel like they belong. And we do that through a lot of different methods, not just like bringing people in on Sunday, which is cool, but we want to be able to open up the building or whatever else we're doing or doing stuff in the community, whatever it is, where people in the community can feel like they belong with us. Because the weirdest thing in the world is to walk into a church, isn't it? Okay, maybe it's not the weirdest thing in the world, but it's definitely not very comfortable for some folks. And if you're not comfortable, then you don't feel like you belong. I have been in churches before that have been filled with people who are average age of 65, and they want no one else in their church. Do you know what happens to those churches within 10 years? They literally die. Not even figuratively die. They literally die. The last pastor that's there is there to perform all the funerals. So, we don't want to be one of those churches where people don't feel like they can come here or come talk to us or come be a part of what we're doing. And so we do that. We do some very odd things here, don't we? We do Christmas mansions. We filled this room full of people during Christmas mansions, didn't we? Do you think people felt like they belonged here during that time? Yeah. I think so. I think everyone was pretty comfortable being here. I feel like, you know, when we had the painting party, the women were very comfortable to be here. The two painting parties. You know, we've got ministries going on, divorce care or whatever it is. We got the women's ministry. We got other stuff going on, counseling stuff that's happening. We want people to feel like they belong here with us. So, Community Day Carnival. Oh, my gosh. This place was packed. It was so trashed. Do you know what I love about a trash church? That means people were there. I don't know what your house looks like when you've got kids or when you had kids in it, but you got to clean my house pretty much every other hour. Otherwise, it gets trashed. And that's because people live there, because they belong there. Because here's the reality. If people don't feel like they belong around us, the church, and I'm not talking about a building. I'm talking about us. If the people of God in our community, the people that don't have a relationship with him yet, don't feel like they belong with you, they aren't going to care what you believe in. And they're not going to come into a belief in Christ themselves. What's one of the number one thing that non-believers hate about Christians? There's that. But there's also they don't do what Jesus would do. They're hypocrites. Right? Yeah. They're Sunday morning Christians with Monday morning sin. You know? They forget, you know, and change their lives on Monday morning. They're two different people. Man, I know way too many stories of that happening. Whether it be from people in a church or people in a congregation or the pastors. The pastors are the worst, man. I'm just saying. Here's the thing. We want to bring people to a point where they believe in Jesus. And unless they care, unless they are shown that we care, they won't care what we have to say about Jesus and how much he cares for them. Because you and I are the hands and feet of Jesus. We're the face of Jesus. We're the voice of Jesus to these people sometimes, because they're not hearing him in the first place right now. They're too wrapped up and tied up in their own lives. They can't hear the voice of God. So they need to hear yours, speaking his words. Then they believe. And then they become a part of us. And that is the become part. Now, I put it this way. Go become a part of another church if you want to. Okay? Maybe you don't like our worship. Maybe you don't like how I speak. Maybe you don't like how I smell. Sometimes I stink. Maybe you don't like whatever aspect it is. I'm not going to cry. There was people here when I got here that, well, except for my own family Everyone in this church is brand new from when we got here. Did you know that? Everyone from the church prior to me arriving is gone. Am I offended? No. Why? Because I've checked on them, because that's what a pastor does. We check on our flock, right? That's the flock I had when I arrived. So where are you guys going to church? Oh, we're going to church here. Great. Awesome. Still love Jesus? Oh, yeah. Awesome. I'm good. I'm not offended. I'm not offended. There are, trust me, there are plenty of churches in Conway to go to. And believe me, if every church was filled to capacity on Sunday morning, we'd still have people outside the doors if the people in Conway all wanted to come to church. There's not enough seats. Do you understand that? So there's more people out there. I'm not worried about that. But we want to become a place where people also become a part of our church and have an opportunity to do that. I've kind of struggled with that a little bit sometimes and figuring out how to make that happen, because we've had to transition from, I hate to say it, a family-run church to, opening it up for other folks and being like, hey. But let me be very clear. I don't want anyone in this congregation to ever think that if your last name is not my last name, that you cannot serve in ministry in this church. Not for a second. That is not my feelings at all. That is not my vision at all. That is, honestly, I've been in churches where that has been like the case. I hated it. I had a church I went to in Georgia when I was in high school, my junior year, and that's how that church was. If you didn't have the pastor's last name and you weren't like the son or daughter of the pastor, you couldn't be in like leadership in the church. I left that church pretty quick as a high schooler. As soon as I had my driver's license, I basically left that church and went to another church. So I want everyone here to feel like they belong. And I want everyone here to believe in Jesus. And I want everyone here to become a part of what the church is doing in this community, or in your community, or at your job, or whatever it is. This church, these people, this church budget is all about supporting you in the ministry that you're doing where you are. But I don't know things that I don't know. So you got to talk to me. Because if you need support and you don't tell me that you need support, I don't know you need support. Because I'm not that prophetic. Okay? Last time I checked, I wasn't Jesus. So help me out here. All right. So that's on this banner. Okay, we got a banner. Banners. Banners are great. We also have another banner in the hallway, and that actually has our core values on it, okay? So we're going to go through that real quick. Our first one is passion for missions. Life 360 Church embraces the mandate to reach the lost world from our local community to the ends of the earth. This passion touches every part of our church life and is expressed in all age groups. That comes out, yeah, I know, it's an eye chart, but you can look out there. It's much easier to see. I'm reading what it says on there, trust me. And so it says this: therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Got it? Great commission. And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you to the end of the age. Great, you know, great commission. Missions. Go out and do it. Number two is outward focus, realizing how easy it is to be inward focused. Life 360 Church vigilantly keeps an outward focus, pursuing, accepting, and welcoming those outside of the church family. We believe these pre-believers are just one prayer away from becoming believers. And we could talk. I'm going to condense everything here. Just want you to understand, I don't care what you look like, or how you act, or where you came from, or how many drugs you're on when you walk in the door, or where you are when I meet you on the street, or what it is. I don't care if you're gender confused, or if you're in a relationship with someone that I believe is unbiblical. Jesus still loves you, and so should I. Period. doesn't mean I have to agree with your lifestyle. That doesn't mean that it's not right, that it's not wrong. But we have to be outward focused. If we are inward focused, man, I mean, I could have the 10 of us here. I think there's 10. Yeah. The 10 of us here, if we focus just on the 10 of us, this would be a pretty small and boring church. Right? So if you want that, where you get this inward focus and everything's about you, don't stay here. You won't like it. Number three is personal touch. From the pastors knowing the name of, from knowing your name to being an authentic community through a group, Life 360 Church believes each person matters. I stumbled through that and I apologize. I am terrible with names. Horrible with names. It takes me forever to learn names. I know. I still am not exactly sure how to spell his name. I've got three ways I spell your name. Did you know that? It's not seen. Is it A-U-N or A-W-N? There it is. I have to update my phone now. But here's the deal. I want to get to know everyone. It's kind of hard sometimes when I only see you like once a week or once a month or, yeah, once a week, whatever it is. Once a month sometimes, depending on who it is. But I want to get to know everyone. I want to go through life with you. I don't want to be this aloof, weird guy that stands up here and just talks and you see him every once in a while. That's not me. That's not why I'm here. That's not what I want to do. And we're small enough that I can get to know everybody. Now, maybe someday we'll get bigger and I won't be able to get to know everybody. There may be people who come in here, I don't know their names at all. That could happen. Yay. Then we get small groups and we have them get to know everyone's names. And then I have to work real hard at knowing everyone's names. All right. Next is unity and distinctiveness. Basically, what this means is that all Life 360 churches, and there's a ton of us right now. I don't even know exactly how many there are. I'd have to look it up. There is one. There is not one in Lebanon, actually. Nope. That's Life Point. So there is Life 360 churches all over the place. There's like four in Springfield right now. But the vast majority of them are in rural Missouri. And then we also have one in Illinois. We have one being put together in Iowa. And we have two of them in Michigan right now. It's pretty, we're growing here. But here's the thing, is each church is different. Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. Hey. We could probably figure something out. We'd have to find a day and a time to do that. Yeah. Those are great ideas. Those are great ideas. Each church is different, though. We're unified in that we all share the same mission, the same goal, connecting people to Jesus, helping people to belong, believe, and become. But we all kind of do it differently. Plato looks different than we do. Republic looks very different than we do. Hartville is different than we are. Man, God is doing some good stuff in Hartville right now, though. I love hearing about what's going on in other Life 360 churches. Because like Hartville is going through like a revival right now. It's amazing. And they have grown like crazy. So I'm very, very happy for Pastor Gary down there. So number five, faith at home. We believe in helping families grow faith from inside themselves. Home is the beginning of ministry. So we want to be here to help support you guys in doing what you want to do in your families. Intentional evangelism. Yeah, we're going to go out and evangelize people. We're going to do that. Right, Marley? What are we going to do? Gotcha. I got Marley. Deliberate discipleship. We're going to be deliberate in helping to train people in knowing Jesus more. We do that through a couple of different groups right now. I do that sometimes through Sunday if I'm doing like a teaching series or something like that. Finally, 8, multiplication. Yes, we're about having more Life 360 churches. We want more Life 360 churches. We want more people in those Life 360 churches. Why? Well, not because attendance is that important at a Life 360 church, but if you're in a church, then it's most likely that you are a believer, right? Right. So that's kind of what we got here. And I know this is an eye chart. If you want to see it, I got the big one out in the hallway you can take a look at. So here's my next question. Okay. Are we healthy? Do you believe that we are a healthy church? I believe we're a healthy church. Two things we have to do in order to be a healthy church is this. Do we love and worship Jesus? Do we love, serve, and make disciples of others? That's it. You caught that? All right, girls, you got this? Check it out. This is all you got to do for a healthy church, okay? You got to love and worship Jesus. Do you do that? Do you love Jesus? Yeah? Do you do worship with Jesus? Yeah? Okay. And then do you love other people? Yeah? Do you help them? Yeah? Do you try to teach them good things to do? See, even she gets it. High five. Well, how about elbows? Because I'm coming from a sick family. There we go. High elbow. So, do you guys get that? That's real simple, isn't it? I'm not asking you guys to jump through hoops or like dance on snakes or anything. That's weird. Oh, don't. I mean, they're churches. I'm just saying that are very strange. I know. But here, that's all we got to do. Love and worship Jesus. Love, serve, and make disciples of other people. That's it. We don't need a lot of land to do that, do we? We don't need a big, large building to do that, do we? We don't need a massive budget to do that, do we? We don't even need a large population of people around us to make that happen, do we? Hey, it might even be easier to reach the number of people that are in Conway than it is a number of people in Springfield. It might just take fewer churches to do that. Wow. But this is it. This is all we got to do. It's what we need to do as a church, which is a people in community together. So how are we going to do that? How are we going to do that? Because that's the next question, right? Now we know what we have to do. We know that, you know, we know we have our core values and we have our mission, and we know what we are supposed to be doing. So how are we going to do it? Well, I want to talk to you about that. Like, what are we going to do in 2025? That's a big question, right? And I'm going to be talking about this more as we get into our series next month. But what do we need to do in 2025? First of all, we are a small church. And that matters. It matters because I need you guys to think small church. We are a small church, and we need to think like a small church. Is it bad to be a small church? No, it is not bad to be a small church. Is it bad to be a big church? No. Is it bad to be a middle-sized church? No. It's not bad to be anything like that. By the way, they are not bothering me. Are they bothering you? Okay, are they bothering you? They are not bothering me. So if they're good, I'm good. Okay? I am not offended. Okay? As long as y'all are listening. And I'll make sure to quiz them every once in a while to make sure they're listening. Right, girls? Right, girls? Right, Naomi? Is that right? All right. You want to help me out with this one? All right, come here. So this is what we have to do in 2025. Are you ready? This one says, come here. I'm going to have you say it, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. That. Say, think like a
small church. Small church.
That's right. We have to think like a small church, right? Do you know what that means? What does it mean? It just means what? You make a friend?
Yeah.
You know what? That's absolutely right. you make friends, right? Do you have a friend? You have a friend here today?
Yeah.
Yeah? That's fun. She's doing awesome. Go ahead. Thank you. Here's our next one. Wait, let me clarify some things real quick. What's the definition of small church in America? Officially, the definition of a small church in America is 250 people or less. 250 people or less. In the United States of America, a small church is defined as 250 people on a weekly service or less. And guess what? We qualify for that. We barely qualify. Did you know that 90% of all churches in America are under 200 on a weekly service? 90%. 80% are under 100. So guess what, church? We may not be a big church, but we are in the majority. Did you know that? I wonder why that is. I wonder why that is. Do you think God might have a plan around that? There might be a reason for that. See, here's the thing. Is most like leadership books and church management books, I went to college and got this whole degree in church organization and leadership, and all of the books are written for churches of like, well, I had a church of 400 and it was really small and I had to grow it to 1500, and I'm like, dude, that's everybody around here. But I got this whole degree in there, and they taught me 100 million things of what to do and how to have small groups and how to have this and that and the other thing, and I went, dude, I'm going to be lucky if we ever break 100. Ever. I'll be stressing if we get to 70. We'll pray for it. I'm happy with good issues and good problems and figuring out new things. I'm good with that. But here's the deal. That changes who we are. The more people we get, that changes who we are. And that is not a bad thing. That is not a bad thing. But I think God has us where we are right now for a reason. It makes us distinctive. Not so distinctive that we need to stay that way. I love this. This is awesome. I'm telling, you know what? Y'all are laughing right now, but this is the church. Guess what? She belongs. Don't y'all? Yeah, see, I love it. We get an opportunity to do something very interesting. We don't need to focus on attendance, but on discipleship, accountability, and evangelism. Okay, here's the deal. We don't need to make a bunch of money. A lot of churches, they have big buildings, they have big debts, they have big all this other stuff. We don't have anything like that. Guess how much money we owe on our building right now? Zip. We own the building. We have no mortgage payment. We pay to keep the lights on and the water running. That's about all we have to pay for. Everything else gets to go to ministry. Isn't that great? Yeah. The first few years we were here, we updated the stage a lot. You guys don't know it, but it was rough. When we first got here, it's a lot better than it was. All right, so we got all that, but God, here's the thing: God doesn't take attendance, and he doesn't judge how good you are as a person by how many people are around you. He judges you on what? Your faith and obedience. Okay, does that surprise you at all? Does it surprise you that a church is not judged on its attendance? Because like a lot of times when you have like reports to fill out and things like that for the church, what are they always asking? How much money and how many heads? How many bodies? How many bucks? Right? Those are the two B's. How many bodies? How many bucks? You girls are awesome. This is what I count. God doesn't take attendance. God sits on his throne, judging you for your life. He isn't going to check on your church attendance record. Hey, girls, I'm happy that you're playing and having fun, but can you keep it quieter? Because you're loud enough that everyone online can hear you now. Do you want to say hi to the world? No? Okay. Do you want to say hi to the world, Naomi? Okay, come here.
Daddy. Hi.
There you go. See? That felt good? Awesome. We're also not subject to something that's called the law of large numbers. Do you know what the law of large numbers is? Yeah, so this is, for instance, this is something that schools do all the time, okay? Have you ever been to like an elementary school and literally all you have to do is have the line leader go in a certain direction and everyone else follows? That's the law of large numbers. So if you put a leader into position and they direct people in a certain way, everyone's going to kind of follow in that direction. They don't have individual thought. They don't have individual movement or anything. Some churches, that's fine. And honestly, that's how they have to operate. They can't operate individually like we can. Like we can conform ministries to people. I know of instances recently where we've had I was doing marriage counseling and someone needed to do divorce care. And these two right here stepped it up and said, hey, let's just do it when you're ready. Tell me a big church is going to do that. Come on. But we can do that. We're flexible for that. But if you're in a large church, you tend to have leadership courses and you have leadership tracks and you have membership tracks and you have this track and that track and you feel like you're on a train. Guys, we're walking together. We are not on a train. We can't afford the rails. And that's okay. We don't need them. We're walking with Jesus, right? We can also specialize rather than generalize, which happens a lot. Now, we do some generalized things around here, like we're going to be doing Financial Peace University, which is rather general. I'm not sitting down with individual people and individually going through all of their finances together and individually helping them. That is more of a general thing that we do. But here's the thing. If someone walks into my office and says, I'm dealing with this, there I am. Let's do this together, you and me. Let's walk. And then we walk together. That's what we can do. We can also cooperate, but here's the other thing. We need to cooperate with other local churches and groups to do good and bring God glory. So this is what we need to do in 2025. So far, I would say we're doing pretty good with about three of those. Agreed or disagree? I'd love to hear your feedback. This is a great feedback day. Would you agree or disagree that that's a good assessment of where we are? Okay. So we need to get some more cooperation with local groups and local churches and see what we can do. That's tough. And we need to keep our eyes open and get involved with what people are doing. Right? Because sometimes people are doing their own thing. And they may not be doing what we're doing. We just need to get involved. Maybe we need to get up and dance around a little. Right? You all are the best object lessons, I'm just telling you. But I want you to know something, guys. We are not in competition with the other churches in this community. Uh-uh. We're not about competition. We're about lifting each other up. So how are we going to change the church to meet the needs of our community? Every day you come in here, the church is a little different. Maybe something's taken off the shelves. Maybe something's been put on the shelves. Maybe something's been moved around, or there's candles burning, and you're like, why are the candles start burning? And I went because we got sick and didn't have a chance to take down Christmas this week. You know, a bunch of different things. We still have toys left underneath the tree. So what can you do? Get some stuff. Go share it with people. Go talk to them about Jesus. Build a relationship with them. Why? Because we're a small church and we can do that. Big church, you can do that too. Go, you know, you can go share Jesus with people too. But here's the thing. I want to equip you guys this year. No, not this year. Next year. Well, why not this year? We'll start now. I want to equip you guys for whatever you guys need. If it's volunteers, we got some. If it's money, we got some. If it's prayer, we got some too. My wife has a wonderful saying for our kids, and I know you're going to hate hearing it, Elizabeth. No, you won't. And it goes like this. At the end of the day, I don't care what grade you get as long as you've done your best. Have you done your best? Have you done your best? I'm looking at 2024 and I'm going, I've done my best here. I've done my best here. I didn't do my best there. I didn't do my best there. I did my best here. I did my worst here. Are we perfect? No. Are we going to get it perfect in 2025? Guys, I'm going to shock you. We are not. I'm going to be prophetic on that one. We ain't perfect. We ain't going to be perfect. Why? Because we ain't in heaven. And we're not Jesus. And we're not going to be Jesus. But we could try to be like Jesus and try to be more like him, right? So that's our goal. That's our mission. That's how we want to get it done. Is that easy enough? What do you think, girls? Is that easy enough? Yep. All right. We're going to pray. Do you guys want to pray? All right, come here, girls. Here, hold my hand. We're going to pray together. You can hold each other's hand and you hold my hand, okay? All right, hold your hand. There we go. We're going to pray. You want to come hold their hands, Elizabeth? Come on. We'll get all the kids together. All right, we're going to pray. If you guys want to stand and pray with us, that's great. All right, we're going to bow our head and close our eyes. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for this amazing church. We thank you so much for everything you provided for us to be able to reach the people in our community. God, everyone and everything we need to reach Conway is right here in this room. Everything and everyone we need to reach for the community around us, around Conway, is in this room. Wherever we live or wherever we work, wherever we shop, our families, it's all available to us, God. And Lord, I pray that we would reach out to each other, that we would care for each other and love each other no matter what. And Lord God, I pray that you would open our eyes and our hearts to the people around us as we get ready to move into this new year, that we can bring more people to you, Jesus, because that's what you've commanded us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, guys. Well, that's all I got today, guys. I told you it was going to be short. This is one of the shortest ones ever, right?
No.
So maybe. Maybe when I didn't preach. Hey, I want to say, you guys, I want to thank you guys for a wonderful year. And please, please keep my family in prayer. There's still a lot that are sick at home. We got this virus that's been going around, and hopefully we'll be okay. So it's not pneumonia, so it's a stomach. No, it's not RSV. It's a stomach thing. So, but be praying for them because they need prayer, and I want to see everyone back up and running in time for school next week. But hey, y'all take care, and I will see you all next year.